Hey, this is Jem Jackson, and welcome to this new episode of the I'm Still Standing podcast. In this episode, our guest Sandra Turgot shares how she confronted childhood trauma in her later adult years. She also shares how God revealed to her that despite how bad the circumstances are, He is always with us. This revelation first came to light for Sandra when her very, very young brother saved her by kidnapping her from her abusive caregiver. Trigger warning, this episode contains details of child abuse. This episode has been sponsored by I'm Still Standing Incorporated. So Sandra is the founder of Beyond and a newly published author. Welcome, Sandra. Do you mind introducing yourself a little bit?
Definitely. Well, of course, my name is Sandra Turgot. I founded a company a few years ago called Beyond, and I guess we'll talk about that later, why Beyond. And I recently wrote a book of poetry, compilation of poetry and prose, and the book is called For Her. I am a community case manager, and a humanitarian. I absolutely adore helping people. That's what I do all day long, helping people. And I'm here to chat with Jamelia. I have no idea what she's going to be asking me. It's going to be fun, but that's just a little bit about me.
Awesome. And we worked together over 6 years ago.
6 years ago,
So we're just reconnecting. It was so nice hearing from you.
I know, it's amazing. When I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness. And you know what, just a side note, Abby did tell me that you were doing this. And she said, you should look up Jamelia. So then I did.
Wow. The world is so small.
It is.
But let's jump in. So you were telling me when we connected, and I didn't know this when we used to work together, but you came to Canada when you were 26?
About 26, yes.
26, right? Mm-hmm. And growing up in Jamaica, you were telling me that it was very tumultuous and you had a really hard time. Do you mind giving us a snippet of that?
Definitely. So I left Jamaica when I was about 19, 20. And I went to Antigua, which is a small island in the Caribbean. You know about Antigua. So I lived in Antigua for a while. But growing up in Jamaica, as a young girl, my memories of that was not fun at all. So I went through, as a little girl, as a baby, I would say, because I was about 5 years old when it started, I went through physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. So abuse on all levels. And that had really stained my heart, my psyche, my spirit. Yeah. So just to fast forward into teenager, I had a rough teenage life and was a teenage mom because of that. So just getting into wrong relationships, just having wrong friendships and just doing the wrong things as a teenager and ending up with a child very young. I was able to pick myself up somewhat and I would consider myself to be strong in whatever that means. Yeah. That's how I lead my life, being a strong woman. And I was able to pick myself up from that teenage disdain of being a mother that young. And so I worked hard and created a life for myself. So moving forward, I had the opportunity to migrate to Canada at 26 years old, and it was amazing. So you're migrating, you're coming to have a better life, of course. Yeah. That's what everybody says, whatever that means.
Right, everybody says that, yeah.
So here I am at 26 years old in Canada in a brand new country and starting all over again, where I left my son back in Antigua, of course, and he was there, I came here. And at 27 years old, I had my daughter here in Canada, and I guess we'll talk about that with some more. So
Okay. And in the last few years, I think you started to dig in to counseling and to healing. What triggered that? Because you know, I don't want to give away your age, but
you know, some folks live their entire lives with these things and don't ever really look at it and say, mm-hmm. you know what, maybe this disturbance caused me to be stuck in certain areas or mm-hmm. to not be where I want to be. So what made you decide to have a look at that?
Well, I was always a forward thinker, and I'm a person who like to do soul searching, so I feel like I'm a lifelong soul searcher. I'm always trying to look within and trying to grow. But I found out that my growth was not happening the way I wanted it to. And I know deep down that there were things that were there that I myself wasn't even able to identify. I know these things happen, but of course you get over it, you live your life. I know that I had a lot, at one point in my life, I had a lot of bitterness. I was upset, I was angry all the time, I why me, woe me. Mm. I go through all that. And then as I get older, I started to try to get healing for myself. Mm-hmm. I became a Christian. I did the Christian thing. I like to call myself, I was sweetly saved. Mm-hmm. I did the altar thing. I thought I did the forgiveness thing. I did the just going to God and trying to get answers for these questions, or trying to get better, if you may. And I find that I was stuck. It seems like things were happening, but deep down there was a disconnect. There was a disconnect from relationships. There was a disconnect from family. There was a disconnect from everything. There was a disconnect from myself. Mm-hmm. And I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. But of course, we wear the mask. Yeah. And I was a masker. And then I didn't like it anymore. I didn't like the mask. Mm-hmm. It became very thick and heavy. And the more you wear the mask, the more you have to push through to be seen, because you're pushing through this mask. Yeah. And I know that I was wearing the mask because I didn't want anyone to know that I was experiencing weaknesses, right? And I was weak because mm-hmm. I portray myself as a strong person, but really and truly, I was really weak and I was tired because I was carrying this weight. I call it a weight because I was carrying this weight, and this weight was from the trauma. I call it the residue of that happened. Mm. So just to give you a backstory, at 5 years old, as far back as I can remember, I can't remember before that. I don't have any memory before 5 years old, but about 5, 6, 7 years old, I remember those years vividly. And from that time, I was severely beaten and called names and sexually abused, touched and fondled. And I remember those moments. And I remember that the lady that was raising me at the time, She was very, very ugly. And when I say that, I mean that in a spiritual way, very dark. Mm-hmm. As I can remember as a child, it was very, very dark lady. I never see her smile. I never know about mm-hmm. smile. She was very, very dark, and she was very, very mean. And I remember one time she beat me so hard that my skin broke.
Oh my gosh.
And I saw the blood gashing from my leg. And I remember that day, I felt like I died. I felt like I went into a trance. I didn't have language for it back then, but I might have knocked out, might have been knocked out or something. I stopped feeling. Mm-hmm. And I know that this may sound weird, but I know that God was always there. I used to call God my imaginary friend. There was this sense of peace in all the turmoil. There was this sense of peace. It's almost like they were working simultaneously.
Wow.
I was in turmoil, but there was peace. And I remember that day when I passed out on the ground. I was in the country, so it was in dirt. I remember I was a tiny little thing. I was very tiny. I remember God saying to me that it was going to be okay. I never forget that. So there was a peace there with me and someone might ask, oh, could there have been peace in such darkness? But I lived in both worlds. I lived in peace in that darkness. And some days it was so dark. I remember she used to put me, if I was bad, I don't know, at 5 and 6 and 7 years old, how bad can you be? But if I was bad, I was made to be put outside under the house. In the country, the house were built in sticks. And there would be a cellar, they call it, under. And I was made to put there to sleep all night in the dark. Remember, there's under the house. That's where I would sleep because I was bad. And I was called names. And I remember being under that cellar or being under that house. And there was a sense of peace. Mm. I remember one time I was scared. I was really, really scared. And I remember I called God my imaginary friend. Now I know it to be God, but then it was just my imaginary friend. It was always there comforting me. I made it through the night. See, I'm here. I saw obviously something was keeping me. Yeah. And I made it through the night and I made it through each day. And each day I know if I was bad, which I don't know what that badness looks like. Mm-hmm. I was a baby, I would be beaten. But somehow I made it to the next day and the next day and the next day. So that was my life. And
How long did you live with this person?
And I lived with this person for about, I don't know when I went to live with her. I really don't know. I never had that answered. But I left her when I was about 8 years old. Okay. And I left her because my brother literally stole me from her.
Really?
Yes, it's a crazy story. My brother stole me in my night clothes that one morning because I had a big sore foot. We call it sore foot back home. Okay. Where I had a big scar that wasn't being healed on my leg.
Probably an infection.
It was very infected. Yeah, it was very infected. And my brother was only 2 years older than me, so he must have been 10.
Wow.
But somehow, God gave him the wisdom. I believe it was all God. Because everything that happened to us in life, it happened to us for a reason. And we're never alone walking through that. I realize that now. That even at that age, I was never alone. And my brother was my angel.
Wow.
He showed up. He took me in the bushes that morning. and he said, I'm going to take you to our mother.
At 10 years old.
I don't know where he gets the money. I never asked. I don't remember our conversation. Of course, we're kids, right? Yeah. But I know that he took me and he took a bus. He took me to the town where the bus is. And we took a bus and he took me to my mother. My biological mother, of course, who lived in another city. Okay. My mother took me to the doctor because I had this big sore, if you may. And I remember the doctor saying to my mother, she almost lost her leg.
Wow.
Yeah. So fast forward, I should have been a 1 foot person, right? Yeah. But God, and nothing is wrong. I believe it would have been, I believe it would have been God's sovereign plan if I had one leg. But that was not supposed to happen. Yeah. So, I was taken to the doctor and I was treated for that. And they treat me with injection and whatever, and my leg over time healed. I have a big scar that I have to answer to a lot of people. What's wrong with your leg? And I used to lie about it, of course, when you were younger. I lied about it. I would say I fell down because, you know, you don't want to talk about the trauma. You don't want to talk about it. As I get older, I started to be honest about it, and I started talking about why that scar is on my leg. But that scar is a physical reminder of the abuse. It's there, it will never go away. So I won't forget the abuse. But fast forward, I no longer live in that space of the abuse and the fear. And it's funny because, without telling my age, and it's funny because it was just recently that I stopped living that place of fear and despondency and bitterness and anger. It was just very recently
that this
happened.
Take us through that process of healing that you went through.
Wow.
What you did, because I feel like there's so many of us, even as believers, that think we're okay, think we've forgiven, but really deep down, we're bitter, we're angry still, we're so hurt.
Exactly. And that's where I was at. I am now late 40s.
I can't even believe that. Black really does not crack, okay?
I am now very late 40s. And panicking, really, and tired. I show up, I get up, I show up, yeah. I get dressed, I get out there, but I was so exhausted. Mm. And if I could break that down, I was so exhausted because I was carrying so much weight. I started talking about how tired I am. I'm so tired. I don't understand why I'm having physical pain, back pain, just physical cramping and pains, head pain. But really and truly, I was understanding that there was something going on deep inside, that there was a residue of something that I wasn't even putting my hand on because it was so deeply buried. Because I thought I'm over that. Now I'm living a good life. I have a good life. I'm okay. But I wasn't. And I would still go to bed and be scared of the dark. I would still have cold sweats. And mark you, I've gone through counseling over the years. I've done the shared my story thing. I've done all of that. But there was something that I didn't let go. And I didn't know what it was. And it was holding me there. And I would still have cold sweats. I would still be afraid of the dark. I would still have behaviors that I didn't want to have. I would still exhibit behaviors that I didn't want to exhibit. Yeah. And so I started saying, I'm tired of this. I don't know what to do, but I need to do something. Yeah. That's where I was. I was at a place where I can't do anything. I don't know what to do, but something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And a girlfriend of mine, we were talking, she's my hairdresser. You know how you tell your hairdresser your everything, stuff?
Yeah.
Your hairdresser is over your head and she asks you your stuff, and you tend to tell her your stuff. Yeah. So she's my hairdresser, my friend, and my soul sister, I called her. So I talked to her, and one day she said, Sandra White, there's a program that I think you should try. And I said, what program? I'm not trying no program. I'm not into no program. Programs don't help, blah, blah, blah. And she said, trust me, I need you to try it. And then to shut her up, I said, okay, when is it happening? Where is it happening? And she told me. So anyways, I forget about it. And it was time, the time was coming around for the program. And she reminded me. And I said, I don't know if I have the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have the time to do this, to be honest. She said, what are you doing? It's Monday evenings. And I said, I have this to do. I make excuses. I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And then to the end, she said, Sandra, I think you should really do this program. And I said, I don't have the money. I was making excuses. And she said, I'll pay for it. And I said, no, you're not. So there was no more excuses. I was trapped, right? Anyways. The day of the program, I wasn't even prepared to go. She called me. She said, are you going? And I said, okay, I guess I'll go. She said, I paid for it.
Wow.
So because she spent her money, I went. But just to fast forward, so this program is called Celebrate Recovery. And it was being hosted by Pastor Rob and Tanya Meikle at their church.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of the church? Do they still do it?
Oh my God.
That's okay.
I know the name of the church. I just, and they're watching. I'm like, girl, you don't know the name of the church.
It's all good.
Kingdom House.
Kingdom House. It's all good.
Girl, they made me say, seriously? I was just there saying, Kingdom House. The church is called Kingdom House. And they host Celebrate Recovery. Now, never heard of it before until my girlfriend Shauna told me about it. Shauna Edward, love her so much. She's amazing. And so I went, and there were strangers, of course, and I start feeling all weird. I'm gonna have to, what is this gonna be like? Didn't know what it was gonna be like. Anyways, just to make the long story short, went through the program. It was a 26-week program. Firstly, you have to confront, you get to understand that you're in denial. That was the first step. So, I'm in denial. I was, and I was in denial, so that was me. So right there, I would describe this program as a surgery, as a spiritual, psychological, physical, if you may, because it really, really give you physical reaction. Because you can feel the tightness in your body just start to release. Mm-hmm. So you can feel those muscles that have been tightened just started to release. Yeah. And I went through this program because I was desperate to be healed, to be whole. I didn't want to go through the next stage of my life the way I was walking.
Yeah.
And as much as people out there may think, wow, I thought she got it together. Girl, I didn't have it together. I did not have it together.
And that's okay.
It was just, and this just happened. I just graduated from this program April. I think it was April 14th. I graduated from
this
year, okay? So it's never too late. And some people out there know my age. I have two grandchildren, so I'm not a spring chicken, okay?
Wow.
And at my age, there is still hope. You can still be healed. You can still be 100% healed. And I experienced that healing. And it's nothing like I ever experienced.
Wow. Did you find out what, because you were saying there was that thing, like you weren't sure what it was. Was
I
it
did.
One thing or was it multiple?
It was one root.
One root.
So understand that trauma created a root.
Mm-hmm.
There's trauma create roots. Some people have gone through multiple trauma. But for me, there was a root inside of me. It was dug so deep. And everything else that happened in my life, all the broken relationships, all the poor decision, everything that happened in my life stemmed from that root. Every decision I made stemmed from that root. I was not able to connect with people on a deeper level. I just did not connect, didn't want to connect, because I didn't want them to leave me, because I associated that with my mother leaving me. And I said to myself, nobody will leave me again. So if I was in a relationship and it wasn't going well, I wouldn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
I would leave first because I didn't want anybody to leave me again. So everything I would do throughout my life, I don't expect anything of anybody, because if I didn't have expectations, then nobody can hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So I build this protective mask around me, wall around me, whatever around me. But the root was still dug so deep within me. How did I find out about that root? So we were going through recovery, and there's a part of the recovery process where you get a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a beautiful, amazing, I call her a gold digger. She will watch you, and I call her a gold digger. Because even when I didn't want to go there, she dug.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She knew. And there's a part in there's a process that you have to write down the people who hurt you, the people you hurt.
Okay.
You had to put it in, you had to physically write it on paper.
Okay.
And I had to go through that. And I remember writing everybody except the lady, the woman that hurt me, that was abusing me. I didn't write her name.
Really?
But it wasn't nothing that I thought about not doing.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't happen.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. So I was with my sponsor, and she was going through my adventure with me. And she asked me. She said, "Is the lady, why is this person not here, the person that abused you? Is she here?" And I said, "Oh, no." And she said, "Why is she not here?" And I said, "I don't know." But when she said that, we were at Williams Coffee. We were in a coffee shop, okay?
Oh, wow.
And when she said that, my five-year-old self, and I don't want to cry. I'm not going to cry. But my five-year-old self came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was now 5 years old. And I was with this girl in a coffee shop. And the darkness came over me.
Wow.
And I suddenly became so afraid. And I think she sensed that. So So she held my hand like you're doing right now. And then she got up and she sat beside me and she held me and she held my face. Wow. Her name is Michelle Collins. I'm going to call her name because I'll never forget her. Yeah, she held my face and she said, Sandra, you're okay now. I went through that whole trauma. I've been so violated. I've been beaten so bad. I've been called horrible names. I remember those names. I was called a bastard child. I was called a dog. I was told that, oh, your mother give you away like a dog puppy, right? And those things stuck with me, and they were there. So they were the roots, right? The roots. Those were the roots. And she said, what is her name? And I couldn't say her name. I started choking on my words. And she said, what is her name? And I called her name. Mm-hmm. When I called her name, I felt an amazing relief. I felt an amazing relief happen somewhere inside of me, like something started to move. I can't explain it. It was freaky. It was really freaky. Something started to move inside of me, and she sat with me through this process, and I cried, the ugly cry. There was a lot of people in the coffee shop. I didn't care. I was a little baby again. I was 5 years old again. And I tell you that your healing can happen anywhere. And sometimes you don't have to be pretty about it. I was in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Who does that in a coffee shop, right? Yeah. Who does that in a coffee shop? I was in a coffee shop. I wasn't at an altar somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I've been at many altars. That never happened. And I'm not saying that there's not power at the altar, but my time was in that coffee shop.
And your altar can be anywhere.
Anywhere. And that happened. And in that moment, I had planned that I wanted to go back to Jamaica and to go back to the place where this all happened. When I started recovery, I put that down as a plan to do. So I knew I was going to go back to the place where this woman was abusing me so badly. Now this woman is dead. Mm-hmm. She's not alive. But I knew that, I felt in my spirit that I needed to go back there. Because I've not been back there in 40-something years.
Really?
I've been back to the country because I have lots of families in that country. I've been back to the country, but I've not been back to that physical place where I was raised for a number of years. Never gone back there. I was not able to make myself go there. It was so traumatic that I was never able to do it. I literally disassociate myself from that place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I realized that I need to go back there. I needed to go back there. And it was burning. So I booked a ticket to go back there. Yes, I did. So while all this is happening, a couple of weeks before Celebrate Recovery was ended, I went back to Jamaica.
And what happened?
I went back there.
How was that? That must have been over 40 years.
Over 40 years. I went back to that place. It was hard. Yeah. It was hard, but I know I was walking. I was doing the walking. I was going through Celebrate Recovery. I was now reborn, if you may. I was going through that rebirth. Mm-hmm. So even though it was nerve-wracking, I was not afraid.
Well, praise God.
I was no longer afraid. And the fear, I was not afraid of her. When I called her name that day in the coffee shop, her name is Miss Vic. When I called her name, the fear left me and I was no longer afraid of her. Do you know for 40-something years I lived and I was afraid of this woman?
Wow.
Do you know that I was afraid of this woman? This woman is dead.
She's dead.
And I was still afraid of her. I was still terrified that she was going to put me in the dark, that I was going to be made to sleep outside, that I was going to be beaten, that my flesh was going to be broken, that somebody would visit her and they would fondle me. I had these things going on in my head for years and years and years and years. And it's funny because I would have triggers even when, and no wonder we do the work we do. So we tend to be wannabe fixer.
Yeah.
because there's so many things about us that is broken. Mm-hmm. So we want to be fixers, mm-hmm. and we do the work we do so we can fix things. And I do the work I do so I can fix things. Yeah. And every time I would have a situation happening, even around my clients, I would be triggered.
Yeah.
I would be so triggered because that's me. When people talk about these things, I would be re-triggered because that's me. That little girl lives in me. Mm-hmm. And that little girl needed my protection. And I was protecting this little girl inside of me. And I felt like I needed to protect everybody. Mm-hmm. So I live my life like that. I get to the place where I started to empathize with her. Mm. So I get from cussing her,
yeah.
remember that she's dead, to empathizing with her, mm-hmm. to understanding her. I understand that she must have gone through something. Because through Celebrate Recovery, I learned that hurt people hurt people. So, and I knew this before, but I was reminded mm-hmm. strongly that hurt people hurt people. So I started to understand that this woman must have been hurt. Because if she was not hurt somewhere, she would not be able to have done that to me, right? So so I went through that, and then I forgave her. I did.
Wow.
I forgave her. And in that moment when I told her that I forgive her, and that she no longer holds me hostage, and that I am no longer afraid of her, that I'm free of her, that those roots that she has formed inside of me that had robbed me of peace and joy and the ability to love and the ability to trust and the ability, just all those things that she had robbed me of, I restore that through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that was Resurrection Sunday.
Wow.
And I praised God in that moment, and I felt the peace of God just come over me and come over that space. And I took a selfie and I saw my countenance. I saw my authentic smile just come back, and my countenance was radiant. I saw that for myself and I was like, wow, this is powerful.
It's amazingly powerful that you went back to the same physical place, country, the same piece of land.
Same place. And my healing happened. I was 100% healed. And I want to share with the people who are watching also that when you're healed, you will find that physiologically, everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will shift. I struggle with so much back pain and menstrual cramps. You know, since I was 12 years old, I've been having severe menstrual cramps. You know that those menstrual cramps was caused by this trauma?
Really?
It was.
It started?
My menstrual cramps went away mysteriously.
Wow.
And this is not a makeup story. This is literal. Wow. It freaks me out. My menstrual cramps that I had since I was 12 years old, and if my family knows that when I had my cycle, I would be showing up. I would be, mm-hmm. I would be in pain, unimaginable. At least one day a month, I take off work, because when my menstrual cycle comes, I cannot work. That's how much pain I'm in. Everything in me cramps. Every muscle in me cramps and hurt. So and I went through a prior session at the church during Celebrate Recovery. And I remember that night, it was a deep, deep soul spirit prayer. Mm-hmm. And the sisters who were praying with me, I remember that night after prayer, I went home and I slept like a baby. But the morning I woke up and I had my menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an ounce of pain. I couldn't believe. I was like, what's going on? Wow. But since then, and that happened in March. And since then, I have not had pain with my menstrual cycle.
Wow. And sometimes we don't know what is causing what, right? Like people have insomnia, stomach pains, IBS, all these stomach issues.
All of that.
All of these things that...
It's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. So trauma takes a big part of your life when it happened. It's not a joke. Mm-hmm. And when a person goes through trauma, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, whether it's just a debt mm-hmm. of a person, whatever that trauma is yeah. that happens, it takes root. And your behaviors just stem from that. Everything mm-hmm. starts happening mm-hmm. to you from that place. Yeah. I say to myself that it covered my authentic self. Mm. It's like a cloak of darkness that covered my true essence.
Wow.
And for years I was fighting to get my true essence to come out.
Yeah.
I had gifts, I had talents that was never realized until now.
Wow.
Because I lived with that cloak of darkness overshadowing my spirit.
Yeah.
For many, many, many years. And only now, almost 50 years old. Wow. Yeah, I just gave it away. Almost 50 years old, I managed to muster up the courage to deal with it, to really deal with it.
Yeah. And all those years, I don't know if you've ever heard of healing being almost like an onion sometimes. Some folks will get healed automatically.
Yes.
But sometimes God takes us through a process. It's like peeling an onion. Mm-hmm. The first layer is like, I think I'm good. Then a couple of years might pass and it's like, okay, there's something deeper underneath that layer. And it just keeps on because you started.
Oh, I've gone healing, through God a long time
but
ago.
But now it seems like you got to the root.
The inner part of that onion.
Right?
Where my spirit lies. Mm-hmm. It's almost like mm-hmm. my spirit was crushed. That's where the source is, in the root. That's where the source of life is. So it's almost like trying to breathe, trying to catch mm-hmm. your breath all the time. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're living on the water and you're trying to catch your breath mm-hmm. all the time. Nobody knows you're drowning but you. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows you're drowning but you. Sometimes people can tell that you're not okay.
Yeah.
People can be intuitive and tell that, yeah, I know she acting all whatever, but she ain't okay, I know that. Mm. Yes, people can tell. But you know that you're not okay. Mm-hmm. And not until you get to the root of it, the root of it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that woman, Miss Vic, was the root of it. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. She formed who I show up in the world as. Mm-hmm. She did, because I was a baby when this was happening, right? So those events formed how I showed up.
And you didn't know a world before that? Or what a world should have been?
It should have looked like.
Yeah, you didn't know anything before
Nothing
that.
Before
so that's
that.
Like a blank slate of, yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. You said it exactly right. It's like no experience. And this is the experience.
Yeah.
This was the experience that I had. And I blamed my mother for this. Mm-hmm. For many, many years. And I say this with a whole lot of respect, honestly, that I did not like my mother. Mm. I didn't like her. I know I had to love her, whatever, mm-hmm. however that looks like, mm-hmm. when you understand that you need to love people and you do good to them and you do good for them, but I didn't like her because mm-hmm. I attached my suitcase of stuff to her. Because it was easier to rebel against her for giving me to this lady than it was to rebel against this woman. You know, see, I never rebelled against this woman because I didn't know her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I spent that number of years with her and it was hell.
Yeah.
But then I came to be with my mother, who I could not connect to, who I just could not do it.
Yeah.
And I get to the place where my mother would even, I would dread Mother's Day. I hated Mother's Day.
Wow.
And then I felt like a fraud when I had children now, and now I am a mother, and I have to show up on Mother's Day. And I would lie to my children. I would work. I would take a shift. I would ask anybody if they want to give away their shift so I can work on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. People ask me out. My son would say, Mom, let's go out. I wouldn't go because I could not. Mother's Day, I would be sick. I would curl up in bed. If I don't go to work, I curl up in bed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that it all had to do with that root. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't realize, like how you said, you would disconnect as a child. And that's a survival. That's what we do as survival, right? For our minds to stay intact. It's just a survival mechanism, the detachment, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the imagination that goes. But as adults, when we turn into adults, sometimes we carry those things with us, not realizing, you know what, I'm okay now. We can say it with our mouths, but really, really knowing that we're not in survival mode anymore. And now it's time to process what happened when we were in survival mode.
Right? That's hard.
It's extremely hard.
Extremely hard to process.
Extremely.
Yes.
It's not easy.
No.
But there's no way. When I used to do practice private counseling, I would always tell people, unfortunately, there's no way around the fire. You just have to, you have to walk right through to your healing, but it's not easy. But once you walk through on the other side, it's
And you have to be ready.
Yeah.
You can't go through it if you're not ready.
No.
Because you would do it a disservice.
Yeah.
And you would come out not healed and not well and not whole. Cause I've gone through many of those.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready. And not until I was tired enough to be ready did it happen. Mm. So I would just say to someone or anyone, if you're tired enough, it will happen.
Where can we find you? Where can we buy your book?
Well, my book is here.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for everybody. See my book, it's for her. And it's really telling stories through poetry. Everything that I've gone through, and that I know many women and men, of course, have gone through, you can find something in this book. Something for you to laugh, somewhere you cry, somewhere where you get it, somewhere like you're reminded, whatever. It's here. And I hear people say, I don't read poetry. But poetry is storytelling in short form. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We tell our stories through creative writings. Like, it's really being creative in telling a story. So every piece tells a story of her. And I call it for her, because I'm talking about her, about me. That's why it's called for her. And the cover was done purposefully, because this is my daughter on the cover and my granddaughter. And I wanted to create a new path for my generation, for the generation behind me. These two are coming up. Mm-hmm. And like for any mother out there, any grandma out there, you know, you want to create a legacy for the generation that's coming up to follow. And I purposely did that. That was intentional, that they're walking. So where I left off back here, they're taking the journey onward. Okay. Because I have to pass that baton on, right? Yeah. So I did my part, and now it's for them to take this, the rest of the journey, and go do their thing and be awesome and powerful in what they do.
Amazing. So, you're an amazing example for them.
So people can find me on, of course, I'm on Facebook, and my Beyond page is BYOND. And I'm on social media. I'm trying to be the social media hype nowadays. I'm trying. I am trying. It's a lot of work.
It's hard.
I'm trying to show up. I'm trying to show up on social media.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's sandraturgot.com. So www.sandraturgot.com. You can find me there. And For Her is everywhere books are sold. You can find it online, Amazon and Barnes & Noble's, Ingram Sparks. You can get you can use your e-reader. You can buy it that way if you like, or you can hit me up. I'm happy to get your copy and to sign it for you. And I'm happy to share.
I need my copy.
Of course.
If that one doesn't belong to
this somebody. One doesn't belong to me. And this one is for you, Jamelia.
Thank you so much for listening. And remember to subscribe so that you get notified immediately when we have a new episode. For more information or to contact us, visit our website at imstillstandingseries.com. Standing for so long, I forget I stand tall. Top of thorny paths, I do my heart lies. But I'm standing, I'm standing tall, I'm standing tall.